The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and are not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's Marvelous Monday as we shake off those everything is bad reports and fix our minds on God's truth and not people's delusions. That's a good idea. First up, do we rejoice when people fail? Bad boy. Bad boy. Next, forgetting and complaining are like two peas in a pod. And finally, he'll be coming round the mountain, so be looking.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations, spiritual observations, my life's insanities, and oy vey, so much more. How much more? A lot. That's how much. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? Give us a text. 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. I'm just hoping everybody's doing good. Don't let the things around you or the situations around you overwhelm you. There is a Redeemer, and God is still on the throne, and he has not lost your file. Just keep in mind, on our show, when you text, any topic is open for a conversation, because it's not professional radio. It's just radio. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, the David Spoon Experience. So buckle up, little campers. Here we go. We have so many cool things to discuss this week and today, and I'm very excited, but I do want to start off talking a little bit of history, give everybody a break from all the craziness that's going on. For those that do not know, this is kind of important, today is National Cheddar Fries Day. That's right, I said it, Cheddar Fries Day. You think all the other stuff's really important? Really, what would be cooler than a plate of cheddar fries right now? That's just awesome. It's also National Pineapple Upside Down Cake. I'm not sure how they came up with that, but I think it's pretty interesting. And then it's a totally look-alike day, and I'll tell you who the best lookalike is in all the world that people imitate more than any other person. You might be thinking when people dress up, they look like this person, that person. The number one person that's imitated in the world, Elvis Presley. Just thought I'd let you know that. Plus, like I'm getting a little bit of feedback that it's fuzzy. We might have to do a breakdown and do a callback, so we're going to see where that goes. I'm going to have Tiara just keep me posted. It's also Lima Bean Respect Day. I have nothing to say about that. I have no idea what that means. For those that want to know in regards to a time frame, on this day in 1959, the CBS presented a two-part show entitled The Untouchables on this day in 1959. All right, Tiara, as if it's still fuzzy, I can just call right back in. So why don't you let me know what you'd like to do? We can pop off to a commercial a bit better. That's a good thing. For those that are people like me who like high definition, on this day in 1989, scientists announced the successful testing of high definition TV. See, to me, of all the things besides Cheddar Fries Day, that would be the best. Let me right there. High definition TV. That's a big key. All right, I do want to let you know if you want to reach out to us. I got Deb letting me know it's a little breaky-uppy. It's not as good as normal. We're working on it, seeing if we can do it. Thanks, Deb. Appreciate it. We're going to try and get that done. Tara, keep me posted on IM, and if I need to just call back in, I can just call back in. It'll be up to you. I'm going to kind of leave that in your hands because you are wise. You are wise. Keep in mind, I think what we're going to do is we're going to take a break. I'm going to call right back in and see if we can fix this real quickly. So don't go anywhere. We're going to do this really fast. She's going to put on a 30-second commercial. I'll be right back.
You may be from a Baptist background, a Pentecostal background, a non-denominational background. David Spoon has that too. You may be from the Church of Christ, Presbyterian, Methodist, Church of God, or some other denomination. But if you're looking for a show that's Bible-based, Spirit-led, and a bit nutty, then give David a listen for a while. If you like it, great. If not, no worries. The David Spoon Experience. Weekdays at 2 on God Country, Texas, 770 KAAM. What is the David Spoon Experience?
GOP congressman's gay son was going to come on their show, and they were going to talk to him, and CNN and MSNBC canceled the interview because he wouldn't criticize his father. He wouldn't downgrade his father because his...
I'm back. Okay, so we're going to keep trying this. Now, we know not only is there opposition spiritual warfare-wise, but we know that from a technological point of view, Dave is challenged. So Tierra's going to keep on the IM. You guys text me. Let me know if it sounds any better. It might go in and out today. Could be one of those days. Wouldn't surprise me in the slightest, but it's okay. What do you got to remember? There's only a few things you got to take away from this show. One, don't forget your DNA. D, draw closer to the Lord. Always draw closer to the Lord. Spend more time with God. You got plenty of time. I talked to my brother over the weekend, and he was like, well, we're pretty bored over here. I said, do a Bible study. Do a word study. Read commentaries. Get into the Word. Draw closer to the Lord. Spend time in prayer. Call out to God. Let the presence of God touch your heart and mind. For a little while, don't think about all that's going on and focus on the Lord. That's what he calls us to do. Number one, draw closer to the Lord. That's D. Number two is the N for DNA, and that's never be ashamed. Don't be ashamed to be a Christian. Jesus said he would be ashamed of those who were ashamed of his word. And they were ashamed of him. Never be ashamed of the Lord. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation, unto the Jew first and also to the Greek. Never be ashamed, even if they mock you, even if they ridicule you. Always be in that position. And always be, never be ashamed. And always be ready. Always be ready to share. Always be ready to encourage. Always be ready to be used by the Lord, even to speak a word, to pray a word, to say a word, to share a word, to be a word. Always be ready, because that's your DNA. All right? Okay. Tierra, I cannot tell if it's any better or not, so let me know through IM, and that will kind of help me out. 1 Kings chapter 21, 27 through 29. That's 1 Kings 21, 27 through 29. Say this. It came about when Ahab heard these words that he tore his clothes and put on sackcloth and fasted. And he lay in the sackcloth and went about despondently. Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, do you see how Ahab has humbled himself before me? Because he has humbled himself before me, I will not bring the evil in his days, but I will bring the evil upon his house in his son's day. So here's the thing. I'm just trying to say, thanks, Deb. Thanks for letting me know. Here's the thing. Ahab was kind of a jerk. He was a jerky guy. Let's just call it the way it is. If he was a leader in any of our societies, we would all be like, oh, this is just horrid. And the Lord really went after him and really challenged him, and he repented. Watch this. There's a lot of people that were thinking, darn, I wish God would have got him. I wish God would take him out. I wish God would show him what's what. I mean, the Lord's on our side. I wish he would have got him. Proverbs 24:17. Do not gloat when your enemy falls. When they stumble, do not let your heart rejoice. When your enemy falls, it's not something you should just be so happy about because they have fallen through the hole. In fact, really, the way that Jesus did it and the way that we should be doing it is he extended forgiveness to those who were even in the process of crucifying him. And compassion received should produce compassion given. You, by the grace of God, were given a pass or a bracelet by the Lord, and he has allowed you to spend time with him. But it wasn't because you were super great or super spiritual. It is because he was super compassionate. And when somebody falls, the best thing that you can be doing for a person who falls, who's not on your team, is to pray that that's the opportunity that God will use to get through to them. That's the opportunity that the Lord will use to reach them. That's the opportunity that they can have to repent. That's the opportunity that they can have to move forward. That's the opportunity that they can find him. You know, all of the people that we engage with, there are quite a few anti-Christian styled people. There's anti-Christian people in politics, of course in government, in the media, and in different places. But instead of hoping that these people all fall in a hole that's never ending to the center of the earth and that they all enter hell early, we should be praying that when they make that encounter, when they have that collapse, when they have that breakdown, they find God. Because without that, they're going to go where nobody should go, or nobody should want anybody to go. And so the bottom line is, we received compassion, we should give compassion. And there's a lot of people out there, they don't like Christians, they don't like people of faith. I got it. But if they fall, instead of rejoicing or clapping, we should be praying, God, use this opportunity so that they can find you. Because if they don't find you, Lord, they're going to be lost forever. Let's not be the kind of people that are super happy when somebody super lousy, super falls. Let's be the people that say, this is an opportunity. Oh, Lord, reach into their hearts, change their lives. Okay? All right. Okay, folks, we're going to take a break. I know we've got some tech problems. We're pushing through it. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back.
Get your real estate agents here on sale. Only a dime a dozen. Step right up and get your agents.
What's going on here?
Real estate agents are in bloom here in Texas, so they're being offered only a dime a dozen.
Is this how real estate agents seem to you? A dime a dozen? Well, that's enough. Kimberly McQuinn, Realtor and Broker Associate with Fathom Realty, is not a dime a dozen real estate agent. Real estate isn't her hobby, it's her passion. With over 12 years of experience, Kimberly knows real estate isn't about selling, it's about the relationships. Get a free consultation by reaching out to Kimberly at turn2realtyteam.com. That's turn2realtyteam.com. Or call 903-484-6637. That's 903-48-HOMES. Whether you're a first-time home buyer or an experienced investor, whether you need a short sale or are looking for foreclosures, Kimberly is the quality you want and deserve for your real estate needs. Don't get the dime a dozen agent. Turn to the best. Turn to Kimberly.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Here's what it says. The sure way to avoid criticism. To avoid criticism, the article says, say nothing, do nothing, be nothing. That was said by a successful and innovative coach of the Philadelphia Flyers hockey team. Now, that's not the only reason I'm reading the article, not because it's just a hockey team coach thing, but here's what it says. Number one, say nothing and become the unwitting victim of everybody else's opinion or point of view. Two, do nothing, and just watch life from the sidelines. Three, when our voices remain silent and our actions still, we are nothing.
The David Spoon Experience, weekdays at 2 on God Country, Texas, 770 KAAM. The Christian faith is being attacked. 50 years ago, people would disagree with Christianity, but with a sense of respect. Those days are over. The rage, the flesh, the enemy, and the atmosphere of sin is growing and growing. Jesus said in Matthew 24, "The love of many will grow cold." And if it's not the end now, it's certainly a lot closer than it was yesterday. You may be from a Baptist background. David Spoon has that. You may have a Pentecostal background. He has that too. You may have a non-denominational background. Yep, he's got that as well. You may be from the Church of Christ, Presbyterian, Methodist, Church of God, or some other denomination. But if you're looking for a show that's Bible-based, Spirit-led, and a bit nutty, give David a listen for a while. If you like it, great. If not, no worries. The David Spoon Experience. Weekdays at 2 on God Country, Texas, 770 KAAM.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas, where we're fighting through technology problems, enemy problems, life problems, but you know what we keep doing? We keep fighting. You are welcome to text us, 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Let us know how it sounds, as that will help us try and make as many adjustments as we can. And I do have a quick trivia question. What is the third commandment? The third, one, two, three, the third commandment of the Ten Commandments. Go ahead and text 214-210-8483. It's 214-210-8483. Let me know if you know. Don't forget our website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org, David at hemustincrease.org, Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry, and YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. So we do know that we're having some big-time delays. We know that's going on. We're trying to fight through it and just want everybody to hang in there with us. Here we go. All right. I'm getting some thumbs up, so that's a good sign. All right. Let me get into this teaching. It's kind of an interesting teaching. It's Psalm 78, verse 11. Psalm 78, verse 11. And this is what it says. They forgot His deeds and His miracles that He had shown them. Oh, wait. Psalm 78, verse 19 says this. Then they spoke against God, and they said, "Can God prepare a table in the wilderness?" The reason that I bring these two passages up in Psalm 78 is they go hand in hand. There is a forgetting which leads to a complaining. It is easy in a journey to forget different elements that take place. It's easy for us to grasp that the Lord has done wonderful things in our lives and He has shown us miracles, but what is happening now? What is He doing right now? And that's where we get the, "What have you done for me lately?" It's not that we're always trying to be mean or rude. It's that our focus is so much on the current need that we forget that God has met those needs 1,000 times. The key in that is for us to do a better job than insulting God. We can't afford to forget what God has done. I can tell you that the biggest problem and the biggest solution for believers is just being mindful of what the Lord has done in our lives. First, God saved you, and you didn't deserve that. I didn't deserve that. Maybe I didn't deserve it more than you didn't deserve it. Second, He responds to us, responded to us. He will answer prayers. He's done things in our lives where we know this is a God thing. There is no other way this could have happened except for God intervening. And why that's important is because he intervened in the past, and he will intervene in the present, and he will intervene in the future on our behalf. But what happens to a lot of us is we'll be situation-focused, almost like present-day focused, and we forget. So it's funny because there's things in Scripture, when you get into Philippians 3, 8, 9, there's things that we should forget. But there's other things that we should not forget. And one of the things that Scripture petitions us and demands of us and commands of us is to be constantly aware of how God has been faithful and never forget what he's done. Have you ever wondered why God had them take rocks out of the middle of the sea when he split the Red Sea apart? He said, take rocks from the middle and put them and make them together, put them in a little pile. And the reason that he did that is so that the people would remember the miraculous power of God by which he brought deliverance into their lives. And we, as believers who have the Holy Spirit living inside of us, living in us, should be well aware, well conscious, well connected to the reality that God has done wonderful things in our lives, and they should be at the forefront of our minds. And when we're going through these trials that feel, you know, intense, we should be remembering the deeds and the miracles. And the reason I say the deeds and the miracles is because there's too many people in too many denominations who are afraid to say, God did that. Somehow, it's bad to say God did that, which is ridiculous. Because when the Lord does something in your life, you're supposed to share it. You're supposed to say that's a God thing. Only God could have done it. Only God could have pulled that off. Only God Almighty, the creator of the universe, can so coordinate the circumstances as to bring about that result. And the Lord does that and wants us to share that. In fact, when the Apostle Paul was riding on riding on the road to Damascus, and he got knocked off his donkey, he got knocked off a donkey again. God likes donkey use. And the bottom line is, Jesus appeared to him and said, listen, you're going to testify to what this is and other things I'm going to show you. And that should be all of us recognizing the exact same thing, that it's these wonderful things that God has done and these wonderful things that he has showed us, and we're going to tell others. And you might think, well, people might think I'm kooky. Okay, but when you stand before God and he says, why didn't you share what I did, how much kookier is that going to feel? How much weirder is that going to be? And so the people, if we forget his deeds, if we forget his miracles, if we forget these fantastic things that he's done in our lives, and then we don't share them because we're worried about what people will think of us, we're the numbskulls. And you think, you can't call other Christians numbskulls. If you don't share what God has done in your life with people when you have the opportunity, you're a numbskull. How's that? And you think, well, God's going to judge you for that. It's like, okay, I'm good with that. And the other part about that is that when you forget and when I forget, so this is not me teaching down to you, but me and you walking in the road together, when we forget what he's done and when we forget his miracles, that opens a door to complaining. That opens a door to speaking against God. In verse 19 of Psalm 78, they said, then they spoke against God. They said, can God prepare a table in the wilderness? Three things come out of that one little verse. One, they spoke against God. Super duper duper dumb. Two, they said, can God prepare? Who do they sound like? Yea, hath God said? Who said that? I don't know. Maybe it was, maybe Satan. Because it was in the garden. That's what he said to Eve. Yea, hath God said? Can God really do this? Can God really do this? And what that is doubting God's ability, get this, to provide. Do we doubt God's ability to provide, even if it requires the miraculous? If we will take a solid, honest inventory of all of the fantastic things God has done, and we were to write them down and acknowledge them, you know, writing down the things God has done, kind of like the Bible, and then look at them, we would be more apt to praise God for what is coming than complain about what we don't see. We'd be more faith-oriented to believe for what is about to be than complaining about what we don't see. And when you and I forget about his miracles and forget about his deeds, we set ourselves up to be a people that speak against God and doubt his ability. And for any of us, that's just a bad, bad plan. What we want to do is we want to remember his deeds. We want to remember his miracles. Remember that time back when you were younger, when you thought, there's no way I can get out of this situation? And yet, here you are. Remember when you were younger and you were thinking, wow, there's nothing short of a miracle will work in this. And yet, there it was. Because God does prepare a table in the wilderness. He opens up the windows of heaven, and he opens up the doors in the desert, and he pours out his goodness. So let's remember his deeds. Let's remember his miracles. Let's be careful to see that what's around the corner should be something to be thanked for and not complained about. And then we'll be a people that honor our God and our King. By the way, the answer to the question, you shall not take the name of the Lord in vain. Congratulations to those who got that correct. Thank you very much. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Taking a short break, then we'll come back. Don't go anywhere.
Hey, here's something your insurance company doesn't want you to know. Some restoration companies have signed contracts with the insurance companies to get more business. At Mr. Restore, we don't participate in any insurance contracts because we believe they're a conflict of interest. Mr. Restore works for you and will always look out for your best interests. So, when you have fire, smoke, water, or flood damage, use the restoration company that's in your corner. Learn more at MrRestore.com.
Back to normal like you were before. If you have fire, water, damage, call Mr. Restore.
It's incredible, and it's never been done before. And you can be the first person in your neighborhood to win.
What is it?
It's a contest.
How do I play?
It's simple. And there's three ways to win. You can go to Facebook, type in David Spoon Media. And on any Facebook post, type in the word Jesus in the comment section. And it's free. You can also send an email to davidspoonmedia@gmail.com and write the word Jesus in the subject line. Or you can go to YouTube and give a comment on any video, but you have to use the word Jesus. This is your chance to win, and it's free.
What do I win?
You can win 100 thank yous right on air. It's incredible. It's unbelievable, but it's only for a limited time. Enter now. Here's a taste. Thank you. for listening to the David Spoon Experience.
Moving is hard. It's a moment that everyone dreads. But wait, there's an answer. Jesus can help. And for the moving part, Men of God Moving is there for you. Men of God Moving is a full-service Christian moving company that is locally owned and operated, serving the entire Dallas and Fort Worth area. Men of God Moving helps with homes, apartments, offices, long and short distance relocations, and so much more. They offer packing and unpacking services, loading and unloading, assembling and disassembling, plus many other helpful services. Tell them you heard it on the David Spoon Experience and receive a substantial discount. Substantial means a whole bunch. Call them at 817-707-7672 or go to their website, menofgodmoving.com. That's menofgodmoving.com. And check them out on Facebook. The Lord's Word says, serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men. Ephesians 6:7. Allow Men of God Moving the privilege of serving you. And listen to Johnny Hill, the owner, often on the David Spoon Experience. To hear his testimony, reach out to Men of God Moving. Johnny's testimony will move you. God bless.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. You are probably aware by now, if you want to reach us, you can do so, 214-210-8483. It does have to be a text, because we are doing our fifth week out of the Spoon Studios in Fayette, Texas. 214-210-8483. Our website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. We got videos up there. We have audio pieces up there. The links to about 2,400 hours worth of podcasts. There's a lot of stuff up there. There might even be a way for you to fix a kitchen sink up there, but I'm not sure. Email David at hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. And YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. So we're going to try to do another trivia question. Great job on the last one. Here's the next question. Going to be a little tougher. Listen to what I'm saying. Hopefully it comes through. Because one of the things is our IM is not working as good as normal. Here is what the question is, trivia question. What was the final wound to the body of Jesus, the dead body of Jesus Christ? What was the final wound, the final action once he was thought dead? What was the final thing that happened to Jesus, to his body? 214-210-8483. You have to text because we cannot take the phone call, as you are probably aware. Okay, here we go. Okay, Tara, let me know how we're doing if the IM's working, because I'm not getting any IM. Okay, here we go. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. Here's what it says. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promises, as some count slowness. Are you guys getting a theme here? But is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. All right, let me read it again. I want to kind of go through it. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness. But he is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. So, a question I get a lot is, why doesn't the Lord just wrap it up, right? Let's just wrap up the program, wrap it up, we be done, let's move on. And one of the reasons that the Lord is moving at a different pace than us is because he is desirous of more people repenting. And you might think, well, wait a minute, are you trying to say that he's going to let this go until, you know, a certain amount of people or a certain person, maybe the last person, has got to be a last person at some point, says yes to Jesus? And the answer to that is probably. not definitively, but probably. In other words, there is one person somewhere in all humanity that is going to be the last person that goes, yes, Lord, and because you and I don't know, that's why we're supposed to be witnessing and sharing the gospel, because who knows, it could be that the very person you talk to is that last person that says yes. It's kind of an interesting, certainly theologically, it's a lot of fun to think about. But it is a motivator, and it's also something to recognize that the Lord is not slow. Now, how many out there, without lying about it, just being honest, the Lord is looking at your heart right now. How many think every once in a while God's middle name might be closer to molasses? It's like, come on, Lord, just do this thing. Get this over with. Let's be done with this. There's many times in my own Christian walk where I think, well, Lord, if you would just do this when this happens here, then this would happen and this would happen, as though I understand the fullness of the circumstances. And that is never the case. The thing is, the Lord is not slow, as some count slowness. The world mocks, but they reject God, so let them mock. The reality check is that you and I, we don't mock. We just don't understand the timing, the methodology, the process that God uses, because He incorporates everybody and everything in all He does. And so from that point of view, when God's fulfilling promises that He has made, whether they are general or personal, He's doing it exactly as it needs to be done. Let me give you something. I've been wanting to talk about this for a little while. Just be aware, first of all, that for those people that think, well, God doesn't give people personal promises, what do you think that promise to Abraham was? That was a promise to Abraham and to his seed and to his offspring. It's like, yes, it was. And He did the same thing with Isaac. He did the same thing with Jacob and 100 other people in the Bible. This is why we have God making commitments and making these positions, taking positions on talking to people and having these relationships with people. And God has promised certain people certain things at certain times. Am I going to say that everything I've ever heard from God is an absolute promise from God? No. I've heard things that I've wanted to hear from God probably more than once. And I'm probably not alone, am I? No, probably not. Here's the bottom line. God's timing in responding to all these things is perfect. And even though we think God moves a little slow, and if He had done this an hour earlier, it would have worked out this way, we don't have a clue as to what we're talking about. Listen to this in Exodus 12, 40 through 41. I've been wanting to talk about this for quite a while. The time that the Israelites lived in Egypt was 430 years. Here's verse 41. At the end of 430 years, on that same day, all the Lord's divisions went out from the land of Egypt. I've got to take a moment for us to reflect about this. God made a promise about the Israelites, and He made a reference to how long they would be involved in Egypt. And God's promise was fulfilled to the exact day for an entire nation. Exactly 430 years later. There are things that Scripture allows room for. There were 5 or 6 stone pots at the marriage of Cana of Galilee. Scripture allows for that little variance, but when God makes a promise, there is no variation. It does not move. It does not change. And God made a promise, committing Himself to Israel, and to the exact day. I think you and I need to get a hold of this. 430 years later, to the exact moment, God fulfilled His promise. because he's not slow. His timing is perfect. Now, how do we know that we feel from time to time that it's moving kind of slow? Galatians 6:9. Let's not get tired of doing what is good, for at the right time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. We have a wearisomeness that takes place because we're people and we've got a lot of flaws and we're trying to kind of walk through and reflect more of Jesus Christ glory by glory and step by step. But the scripture says, don't get tired of doing good, because at the right time we'll reap a harvest. And you might be thinking to yourself the same thing I think. Well, isn't the right time when I tell God I need it now? And the answer is no, it's not. That's not the right time. And what you think the right time is and what I think the right time is not the right time. And you might be thinking, Dave, it kind of sounds like you're talking like a theme here. Yeah, here's why. The bottom line is, in the last segment we talked about never forgetting God, his deeds, his miracles, not putting ourselves in a position to be doubting, not putting ourselves in a position to be complaining. Why we do that is because we don't trust the timing of God. You know that person you're praying for? Do you know when they'll respond to that prayer? No, you don't. So you keep praying. Do you think, well, maybe God should do it this way? I know, but there you are, right there, telling God how to be God. He knows what time, what place, what space is perfect. He knows when it is and when it isn't. And one of the things I really enjoy about Kimberly Allison, about her and Tony, as when Kimberly and I talked, it's like, you know, I don't know why God lets this happen. You know, it's like an honesty. Like, we don't know why he allows this to go on. But there has to be a trust in his timing. There has to be a confidence that God has it nailed down perfectly for our benefit, just like everything else. And so that's an important part of the trust. It's not that you're just trusting him for salvation, of which you are. And it's not that you're trusting him for some of the bigger prayer moments, of which you are. But it's also that you trust him in his timing on a regular basis, because he does it perfect. He responds perfectly and in perfect timing. And we have to trust the timing of God. I mean, I drive down the freeways before the virus, and I'm just like, get out of the way. I got to get to the studio. And it's like, that's not trusting anything. I'm just trying to push it through. But I have to trust that God is with me and not try and force his hand by speeding 95 miles an hour. Okay? All right. All right, and by the way, the answer, most of the people got this correct. It was the side of Jesus. It was pierced. Remember, the Roman soldier pierced his side, and that was the last inflicted wound that fell upon Jesus Christ. That was after he was dead, so excellent job on all those people that responded. We're going to take our break and come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break, and we'll be back.
The David Spoon Experience is now run by He Must Increase Ministry. What this means is that we are no longer operating as a regular business, but as a nonprofit ministry that is devoted to increasing the ministry of Jesus Christ. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Bible believers, the wounded and forgotten believers, and the not yet believers through biblical truths. We are funded by listeners like yourselves and ministry partners that want to provide sponsorships for the show. Your donations are 100% tax deductible. And the great news is, if you donate to our ministry and help us advance the kingdom of God, we won't give you a thing. That's right, you'll get no special prize or gimmick. You won't ever get an anointed Bible or penny in acrylic so that you're never penniless, or a guarantee that you'll become rich just because you gave. Your giving will support our unique idea of biblical encouragement. And what you'll receive is a receipt for your giving at the end of the year. It's all about sowing and reaping. Cast your bread upon the water, and it will return to you. And if you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. But you'll be laying up treasures in heaven, and that's the most excellent place to receive the best return for the longest time on your investment. What happens if you don't give? Nothing, except more commercials like this one. Let's spare everyone from more commercials like this one. Go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. And give if you're led to and if you're able to. Let's keep the show going and help increase its time and reach. You must like this show a little bit because, after all, you're hearing this commercial, right? Thank you.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
By the way, I found out just the other day, I know you don't know this, but I found out that I am one of the most hated people in the United States of America and in the world. Did you know that?
Because you're a middle-aged white guy?
Huh. Let me help you out here, son. Let me help you out. Not only am I a middle-aged white guy, by the way, thanks for the middle-age line. Thanks, pal. I appreciate that.
I'm not that far behind.
Okay, well, that's not the point. The point is, I'm also, ready? I'm also Jewish, okay? So I have a lot of people that don't like me right there. I'm Christian, so I have a lot of people that don't like me right there. I'm conservative. I have a lot of people that don't like me right there. I'm an American. Got a lot of people that don't like me right there. I mean, you see where we're going with this? And I have a talk show. So that's just, you put all those together.
You got me left. Yeah, I love you, buddy.
I mean, come on. You know, just because they love me doesn't mean they're right. And just because they hate me doesn't mean they're wrong. On
Christ the solid. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. If you want to send us a text, you are welcome to 214-210-8483. Thank you, everybody, who has been responding to the trivia. I greatly appreciate it. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email, david@hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. And YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. And so many of you are out there, and we're going through the virus-y thing where people are shut into their homes and they're not able to travel, and a lot of different information come out. I think there's a dangerous element going on where you pick a side in regards to information, and then everything that everybody says now has got to be looked through a microscope. This is just, it's kind of like it's been politicized, and all of that to say, don't focus on that stuff. That's not where you get your strength from. That's not where you draw from. You don't draw from that type of place to get your stamina to keep going in life. You draw from your breath from the Lord. It's a gift from God, and you draw your sustaining breath from the Lord. And that's where it ought to be, and that's where it ought always to be, just as a point of fact. And so what we did was, in the very beginning, we just talked, kind of walked our way in and said, hey, don't be happy if your side wins and the other side loses. Don't be like a poor winner. Like, oh, good, I'm glad they're getting blasted, or I'm glad this person has got the virus, or I'm glad this is happening. It's like, that's the wrong spirit. That's the wrong attitude. Don't do that. If something happens to somebody that's on a different side than you, you really ought to pray for them, that would be a great opportunity for the Holy Spirit to reach into their hearts and minds, not that they would have 1,000 more dragons fall on their head, okay? So I'm going to just be honest. The second thing is, what we did was, what I wanted to do is talk about the reality that many of us forget what God has done, we forget the miracles He's done, and because we forget, because there's not a good remembering going on, we start this complaining process. Notice how we did that in the second segment, and then in this last segment, the third segment, we were talking about, well, you know, the timing is crucial, and God's timing is perfect, and everything God does is perfect in that capacity. And you're thinking, yeah, that's true, so where are we going in the fourth section? Believe it or not, all four of these sections have the same theme or the same line running through them, and here's the line that you need to be aware of, or here's the communication or truth you need to be aware of. I'm not talking about the methodology, I'm talking just simply about the truth, and here it is: Jesus is coming again. Period. Okay? Scripture talks about a blessing, and in Hebrews chapter 9, about those that eagerly anticipate his return, eagerly expect his second coming, that there's a greatness to that. And one of the things that I wanted to bring up that has to do with us keeping in mind that everything God has said is true, everything God has done is perfect, everything God has done has been faithful, and he's never been late, and his promises are true, both his general promises and specific promises, and they never fail, and they're never off timing, and they never miss. And then here's the biggest promise for all this stuff that we got going on, and that is Jesus is coming again. And what happens is we get so caught up in life that we forget that promise. And why I bring it up, why I'm hammering it, why I'm being obnoxious, which I'm very good at, is because this promise is the one that sustains all that we go through, not just through a tough time in society, but in life itself. When we're done with this in 6 months, 12 months, whatever that time frame is, there'll be something else. Whenever that's done, there'll be something else. Whenever that's done, there'll be something else. Keep in mind that this country went through two world wars, one of which was a guy that rose to power in the Second World War who hated Jews so much he wanted to extinguish all the Jews. There wasn't a person who was a Christian who was alive who didn't think that Adolf Hitler was didn't think he was the Antichrist. They all thought he was the Antichrist. He's trying to kill the Jews. Guess what? He's only a type of Antichrist, not the final Antichrist. There's going to be yet something worse. You think, oh, man, holy smokes. Worse than that? Yep, worse than that. And you think that's unbelievable? Yes. Guess what? He's coming again. See, this is what sustained them in the first century, second century, third century. I'm not going to do it, but we're already here to the 21st century. It is what sustains us. He's coming again. And you think, well, how? It's like, yeah, okay, you guys can fight about the how. Go ahead. Here's the bottom line. He's coming back. 2 Peter 3:3-4. Knowing this, first of all, that scoffers will come in the last days with scoffing, following their own sinful desires. They will say, where is the promise of his coming? Ever since the fathers fell asleep, all things are continuing as they were from the beginning of creation. These are people that ridicule. I don't know how many people out there are ridiculing Christians. A ton. A ton of people. And most of them are on your boob tube. And they're laughing that he's going to come. And it's like, no, I don't care about the eschatological differences. Unless you're a person that doesn't believe that Jesus is coming again, then we have a problem. Remember, in essentials, unity. In non-essentials, liberty. In all things, charity. Great. Except the return of Jesus Christ is an essential. And they scoff. And what's their scoff? What is it that they scoff at? Where is the promise? That's exactly what the scripture says. Where is the promise? It's been such a long time, so therefore it can't be true. And they go, everything is the same. No, it isn't. I can tell you right now how I can guarantee you everything is not the same. I will prove it. You will, beyond a shadow of doubt, you will go, you're absolutely right. Ready? Good and evil have continued to grow from the garden. We can now kill people in 1,000 new ways than we could 50 years ago. And there are some really good things and good medicines by the grace of God that we've come up with. That's fantastic. That's the good part. But the evil part continues to grow too. You think they ate that once and that was it? And there was no more knowledge? That's exactly the opposite of what God was saying. This is the knowledge of the tree. This is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And they ate it. And guess what's been going on for quite some time? The growing of good and evil. It's like, oh, this is not good. Right, because the evil is so bad. It could wipe us out. And this is where you get the love of many. In the end times, the love of many will grow cold. Like, okay, evil will so overtake that there will be less love in all of society, period. And you know where you get relief? Jesus is coming again. Hallelujah! John 14:1-4, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. If I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Yay! Acts 1:10-11. They were looking intently up to the sky as he was going. Suddenly, two men dressed in white stood beside them. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking in the sky? This same Jesus who's been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you've seen him go into heaven. Guess what? He's coming back. I think now, he says, his timing. I say, now is good. What do I know? I don't know. But I know one thing. He's coming back. Is he coming back today? I don't know. Coming back tomorrow? I don't know. But he's coming back. That's the promise of God. That stands more sure than the foundation of the earth. Tell that to people on television. They'll just look at you like you're a Looney Tune. Like, tough. Who cares? I believe in the Most High God, and I believe his word is true, and I believe his promises in Christ are yes and amen. And when it's all said and done, the trumpet's done, and all the stuff's done, all I know is I'm going to be dancing. And my feet won't be hurting, and that's good enough for me. Those are the things. That's the promise. That's why you remember the things that God has done in your life. All of that leads up to this one thing. Jesus is coming again, and we should eagerly desire that return and look forward to it. Talk about a game changer. I've heard the word game changer 15 times on TV in the last, 48 hours. I got a game changer for you. When Jesus splits the sky, it's a game changer. That's the one I want. I'm not picking sides, don't get wrong. I'm left or right, that's fantastic. I'd rather be top center and be looking to the sky so when Jesus comes in, we'll be ready. Right? The promises of God are yes and amen. Awesome. All right, folks, that's Monday. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Going to take a 23-hour break, then come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
The views expressed on the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.